Welcome to your midday NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer. The Trump administration confirmed on Monday it will give U.S. companies 90 more days to end their business dealings with Chinese telecoms giant Huawei. NTD reporter Penny Zhou has the story.
Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross confirmed the extension on Fox Business today. American companies who have business with Huawei are mostly wireless carriers in rural areas who chooses Huawei mostly for its low price. They will have to find other suppliers by November. Ross also announced adding 46 more Huawei affiliate companies to the list of those barred from doing business with U.S. companies. He said this will make it harder for Huawei to get around the sanctions. Despite the reprieve, the Epoch Times China editor Kathy He said the move is consistent with President Trump's stance on Huawei.
Really just to get these any U.S. companies buying from Huawei, just a bit more time to eventually stop. So
Trump affirmed his position.
So at this moment, it looks much more like we're not going to do business. I don't want to do business at all, because it is a national security threat.
Experts have long raised concern about Huawei, which has close ties with the Chinese military. And a Chinese law requires that all companies in China must cooperate with the regime's intelligence authorities on request.
Potentially, the Chinese communist regime can use Huawei equipment to spy on Americans and also to use its telecommunications equipment to disrupt communications in times of potentially of war or conflict.
She said the ban could hit Huawei hard in the short term.
Huawei does rely a lot from U.S. Chip makers out there to build its components. So,
but in the long run,
there's a feeling that the Chinese Communist Party won't let it fail because it's just too big and too important for China.
Google has already reportedly cut off Huawei from using its Android operating system, as well as apps like Google Maps and Gmail. Penny Zhou, NTD News.
President Donald Trump is drawing attention to new research showing the sway Google holds over election results. The information was revealed after a former company engineer came forward with a pile of internal documents that suggest political interference. Trump posting about the report on Twitter yesterday saying, quote, Google manipulated from 2.6 million to 16 million votes for Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election, end quote. He also called for Google to be sued. Trump is referring the work of Robert Epstein, a research psychologist at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology in California. Epstein says Google had the power to drive millions of votes on election day and no one would know. Google has called the research flawed, but they haven't said why. Epstein says he personally supported Clinton in the race. Tune in tonight for more on this story. The Department of Defense is testing new missile technology. Check out this slow-motion video from the Pentagon's West Coast missile test.
The DoD explained that the launch was a test of a ground-launch cruise missile. That type of missile had been previously banned by the now-defunct Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. The U.S. announced its formal withdrawal from the treaty with Russia earlier this month, making the launch test possible. The Pentagon stressed the missile is designed to carry a conventional payload, not a nuclear one. According to defense officials, the test hit its target and will be used for future development.
U.S. Vice President Mike Pence is urging China to respect the integrity of Hong Kong's laws. He offered a reminder of President Donald Trump's warning that it will be harder for Washington to make a trade deal with Beijing if violence ensues in the former British territory.
Speaking at the Detroit Economic Club, Pence explained that in order for the U.S. to make a deal with China, Beijing needs to honor its 1984 commitment to the Sino-British Joint Declaration. The agreement grants the city of Hong Kong lawful autonomy and allows freedoms not enjoyed in the rest of China, including the right to protest.
In fact, the Chinese Communist Party has used an arsenal of policies inconsistent with free and fair trade, policies like tariffs and quotas, currency manipulation, forced technology transfer, intellectual property theft, and industrial subsidies.
He confirmed the Trump administration will continue urging Beijing to act in a humanitarian manner. Yesterday, Trump linked trade talks with China to the ongoing Hong Kong situation.
I'd like to see Hong Kong worked out in a very humanitarian fashion. I hope President Xi can do it. He sure has the ability, I can tell you that from personal knowledge. He certainly has the ability to do it if he wants to.
However, China has repeatedly pushed back against U.S. involvement.
I think it would be very good for the trade deal that we're talking about.
Hong Kong is gearing up for more protests this week after hundreds of thousands of anti-government demonstrators braved heavy rain yesterday to peacefully rally.
Though the Trump administration is looking to cut its foreign aid budget, agencies directly related to economic development will not be affected, especially those that can help the U.S. to counter China's Belt and Road Initiative.
The Trump administration is expected to present a rescissions package this week that it says would save $4 billion in unspent foreign assistance funds. Many foreign aid agencies like Millennium Challenge Corporation will forge ahead in countering China's Belt and Road Initiative.
MCC is a great alternative and a great model that stands in contrast to Belt and Road.
Over the past 2 years, the Trump administration has taken a number of measures to directly counter China's Belt and Road Initiative, including the creation of the U.S. International Development Finance Corporation with an investment quota of $60 billion through the International Development Investment Act, and the U.S. Export-Import Bank has been restored to full financing capacity. Millennium Challenge Corporation is also part of the U.S. foreign aid strategy, which promotes good governance and economic freedom by providing development funds to eligible developing countries.
It's a model of accountability and self-determination, and we are there in partnership.
While Beijing says the Belt and Road Initiative is aimed at promoting global trade and economic growth, experts say its real intention is to expand the country's political influence and military presence.
There are going to be some strategic areas where it's going to intersect with our strategic interest, where we're going to have to up our game and we're going to have to enable an alternative. That may include things like 5G. That may include certain ports.
I think in some ways there's still a question of scale in terms of development finance in particular.
Many countries are growing increasingly concerned about the Belt and Road model.
That there are concerns about governance and corruption, there's concerns about quality, there's concerns about environmental issues, there's concerns about human rights, and then I think there's this legitimate concern that there are components of it that feel like a neocolonial project, a 99-year lease, just like Hong Kong having a 99-year lease.
If the United States wants to win the competition with China in the field of foreign aid and development, experts believe that the most important strategy is to provide an alternative model, elevate global standards, and cooperate with the private sector. Reporting by Kitty Wong, NTD News.
Twitter and Facebook stating they have dismantled Chinese state information operations on their platforms that sought to undermine the pro-democracy protest movement in Hong Kong. Now, there's proof from the Chinese side that the regime is spreading propaganda on the platforms that are banned inside China.
Twitter said yesterday it suspended over 900 accounts, and that was just the tip of the iceberg. The social platform said it discovered an entire network of about 200,000 accounts, most not active yet, and all now removed. Facebook said it also removed accounts and pages from a small network after a tip from Twitter. It said its investigation found links to individuals associated with the Chinese state. The Twitter accounts were promoting articles from state-run media English Xinhua News. In one tweet, the agency described the mostly peaceful Hong Kong protest as blatant violence. Xinhua News is the propaganda arm of the Chinese Communist Party.
The Western concept of media doesn't exist in China. So all the Xinhua News agency, everything are from the Communist Party.
Both Twitter and Facebook are banned in China, and now a document has been found on a Chinese state purchasing website for a contract worth 1.25 million yuan, about $177,000, to manage Twitter accounts for China news services. The contract period is from August 16, 2019 to February 29, 2020, and the project goal is to reach 500,000 followers.
Any American companies shouldn't endorse CCP's propaganda.
For 11 consecutive weeks, Hong Kongers have protested night and day, sometimes shielding themselves from heavy rain. They began in June as opposition to a now suspended bill that would allow anyone the communist regime accuses of a crime to be extradited to mainland China. The protests have since swelled into wider calls for democracy.
Miguel Moreno, NTD News.
The UK Foreign Office is extremely concerned after reports surfaced that a British consulate staff member in Hong Kong has been detained in mainland China for over 10 days.
The British Consulate General in Hong Kong addressed local media reports today that Simon Cheung has been held in Shenzhen, a city in Hong Kong's border with mainland China, since August 9th. According to a statement released on Tuesday by the UK Foreign and Commonwealth Office, the department is extremely concerned by the reports. In the meantime, it is providing support to Cheung's family and seeking further information from authorities in Guangdong Province and Hong Kong. China's foreign ministry declined to comment on the reports. At a press conference, a spokesperson for the Hong Kong police said the force had not been contacted by mainland Chinese authorities regarding a missing British consulate worker. Senior Superintendent Kong Wing Chung did confirm, however, that the police had received a missing person report on August 9.
The case is currently under the inquiry by the Regional Missing Person Unit of Kowloon West Region. And so far, the Hong Kong police force does not receive any notification from the mainland authority.
Hong Kong has been gripped by anti-government protests in recent weeks, while Beijing has repeatedly tried to halt the UK and US from getting involved. Miguel Moreno, NTD News.
A parade scheduled for last Saturday in Toronto showing support for Hong Kong's protests was canceled when a number of pro-Beijing counter-protesters showed up to interfere.
It was supposed to be another rally in March in support of the Hong Kong pro-democracy movement. Only this time, protesters faced anti-protesters. The group showed up and surrounded them with pro-China banners shouting, "Hong Kong belongs to China."
I hope they understand what we are fighting for before they, like, kind of yell at us.
Hong Kong supporters want the city's freedoms preserved, pleading for nonviolence and accountability from Hong Kong's police and legislators.
One country, two systems. We deserve the democracy that we were promised to have. And I think we deserve the freedom that we used to have and we should continue to have.
Emotions flared as the two sides shouted at each other. In the end, organizers and police decided it would be safer to cancel the protest entirely.
Well, we are not because they are blocking a way out, and they are also attacking some of our volunteers and organizers just now. We are very angry at this kind of intimidation and harassment. So instead of marching, we'll stay here and stage a peaceful rally, showing our support to Hong Kong. And also to reiterate the reason why we are here today. This is Canada. We have the constitutional right to freedom of expression. No one can take that from all of us.
This red camp showed up to sabotage the protest just a few days after another event in Toronto, also denouncing the pro-democracy movement. That event was organized by pro-Beijing groups. Its main speaker was a former Ontario minister accused of having ties to the Chinese government. And other Canadian cities with pro-Hong Kong rallies have met with similar disruptions, such as in Vancouver over the weekend.
We, as a Canadian, have to protect the freedom of speech because they violate our freedom of speech to crush our protest.
Pro-Beijing organizations have also run ads in Chinese publications condemning the Hong Kong protests. On Sunday, Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland condemned violence by Hong Kong police. This sparked a backlash from China's embassy, which warned that the Canadian side should be cautious in its words and deeds and to immediately stop meddling in Hong Kong affairs and China's internal affairs.
Taiwan's president today thanking the U.S. for approving the sale of 66 F-16V fighter jets as relations between the allies grow ever tighter.
Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen said the $8 billion deal recently approved by President Donald Trump shows
the United States' long-standing commitment to helping maintain peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait.
Directing her remarks at the Asian-Pacific Security Dialogue to mainland China, Tsai also said Defending our own country is our right. I hope China can respect that right. The deal was made under America's Taiwan Relations Act and is seen from the U.S. side, too, as sending a strong message to Beijing. A bipartisan statement from the House Foreign Affairs Committee last Friday says it will help deter China as they threaten our strategic partner Taiwan and its democratic system of government. Relations between Washington and Taipei have grown much closer under the Trump administration. In May, Taiwan's embassy in D.C. got a name change reflecting this, going from the Coordination Council for North American Affairs to the Taiwan Council for U.S. Affairs. President Tsai stated at the time, "This marks the first time the terms Taiwan and the United States appear in equal footing on the name of an organization together." Taiwan's Ministry of Foreign Affairs was even more effusive in a tweet. Really got to love the new name. The United States still has no formal diplomatic ties with Taiwan. President Jimmy Carter changed its diplomatic recognition in favor of Beijing in 1979. Cindy Drucker, NTD News.
Delegates to a chief demission seminar today are confident that searing heat and water quality issues will be resolved in time for the Tokyo 2020 Summer Olympics.
After recent test events highlighted potential problems for next year's Games, the National Olympic Committees, or NOCs, is visiting for 3 days to do a progress update and venue tour. Soaring temperatures have killed at least 57 people across Japan since late July, highlighting the possible health threat to athletes and fans. Because of heat concerns, the distance of the run segment in the women's race was reduced. High levels of E. coli bacteria were also found in the water of Tokyo Bay. Despite these concerns, an NOC representative and three-time Olympic gold medalist swimmer was not worried.
In top athletes, they know they have to perform in any circumstances. So because of those test events, we get a lot of information, a lot of data. And the way the organizing committee is taking all those data to make it even more perfect, I was impressed by the way they handle things.
South Korea's NOC had sent a letter to organizers expressing concern at the possibility of produce grown in Fukushima being served to athletes in the Olympic Village, saying food produced in Fukushima could be contaminated by the nuclear power plant that was severely damaged by the 2011 tsunami. Single-layer underwater screens installed in Tokyo Bay have helped reduce the bacteria, and triple-layer screens will be in place by the time the Games begin. Emily Ho, NTD News.
A galaxy far, far away is now as close as the local shopping mall if you're in New York City. Experience Star Wars inside the World Trade Center's Oculus.
It's produced by the company Void and is called Star Wars Secrets of the Empire. The half-hour, approximately $30 experience takes place shortly before the original Star Wars trilogy plays. The Void co-founder, Curtis Hickman, says participants will feel they are in a whole new world.
The really unique thing about this is that all your senses are engaged. So you get a haptic vest that you put on. It actually triggers. When you get hit, you feel it. You go through and you can feel the heat from the planet. You can smell the burning in the atmosphere.
This experience in the Oculus New York City will only last through October. But no worries, it will move to a permanent location. Hickman says this particular location is just one of 25 planned to open globally within the next 3 years. Void has also created VR experiences based on the animation film Ralph Breaks the Internet. Emily Ho, NTD News.
And that's all for today's NTD Midday News. Join us again this evening. I'm Tiffany Meyer.